Chapter 44. Reacher threaded between houses and stayed off the roads where possible. He saw nobody on foot. Once, he saw a moving vehicle two streets away, an old sedan, lights on bright, a designated supervisor, possibly, on an inspection tour. He ducked low behind a wooden fence and waited until the car was well away from him. Then he moved on and pressed up behind the first of the brick-built downtown blocks. He stood with his back against a wall and planned his moves. He was reasonably familiar with the Spares' geography. He decided to stay away from the street with the restaurant on it. The restaurant was almost certainly still open for business. Close to 9 in the evening, maybe late for normal supper hours, but with mass community action going on all night, it was probably committed to staying open and supplying refreshments for the troops. Maybe the moving car had been a volunteer, ferrying coffee. He stayed in the shadows and used a narrow cross street and turned and walked past the storefront church. It was empty. Maybe Thurman had been inside earlier, praying for success. In which case, he was going to be sadly disappointed. Reacher moved on without a sound and turned again and headed for the police station. The streets were all dark and deserted. The whole active population was on the perimeter, staring out into the gloom, unaware of what was happening behind its back. The street with the police station on it had one street light burning. It cast a weak pool of yellow light. The police station itself was dark and still. The street door was locked. Old wood, a new five-lever deadbolt inexpertly fitted. Reacher took out the keys he had taken from the deputy in the bar. He looked at the lock and looked at the keys and selected a long brass item and tried it. The lock turned with plenty of effort. Either the key was badly cut, or the lock's tongue was binding against the striker plate, or both. But the door opened, it swung back, and a smell of institutional floor polish wafted out. Reacher stepped inside and closed the door behind him, and walked through the gloom the same way he had walked before, to the booking desk. Like the town's hotel, the Despair PD was still in the pen and paper age. Arrest records were kept in a large black ledger with gold-painted edges. Reacher carried it to a window and tilted it so that it caught what little light was coming through. Then he opened it up and flipped forward through the pages until he found his own entry, dated 3 days previously and timed in the middle of the afternoon. Reacher, J., male vagrant. The entry had been made well in advance of the town court hearing. Reacher smiled. So much for the presumption of innocence, he thought. The entry immediately before his own was 3 days older and said, Anderson, L., female vagrant. He flipped backward, looking for Lucy Anderson's husband. He didn't expect to find him, and he didn't find him. Lucy Anderson's husband had been helped, not hindered. Then he went looking for Ramirez. No trace. Nowhere in the book. Never arrested. Therefore, the guy hadn't escaped from custody. He had never been picked up at all. If he had ever been there at all. If the dead guy in the dark wasn't someone else. He leafed backward, patiently, a random 3-month sample. Saw 6 names. Bridge, Churchill, White, King, White House, Andrews, 5 male, 1 female, all vagrants, roughly 1 every 2 weeks. He flipped ahead again, past his own entry, looking for Maria herself. She wasn't there. There was only 1 entry after his own. It was in new handwriting, because the desk cop had been driving Despair's 2nd Crown Vic and was therefore currently out sick with whiplash. The new entry had been made just 7 hours previously and said, Rogers, G., male vagrant. Reacher closed the book and stacked it back on the desk and walked to the head of the basement stair. He felt his way down and opened the cell block door. It was very bright inside, all the bulkhead lights were burning, but all the cells were empty. A circle a mile in diameter would barely enclose the town. Reacher's next stop was out of town, which meant passing through the perimeter again, this time heading in the other direction. Easy at first, hard later. Easy to sneak up to the line, relatively easy to penetrate it, hard to walk away with 1,000 eyes on his back. He didn't want to be the only thing moving in front of a static audience. Better that the line moved and broke over him like a wave over a rock. He sorted through the bunch of keys, found the one he wanted. Then he put the keys in his pocket and moved back to the booking desk and started opening drawers. He found what he wanted in the third drawer he tried. It was full of miscellaneous junk. Rubber bands, paper clips, dry ballpoint pens, slips of paper with scratched-out notes, a plastic ruler, and a tin ashtray, and a quarter-full pack of Camel cigarettes, and 3 books of matches. He cleared a space on the floor under the booking desk and put the arrest ledger in its center, standing on its edge, open to 90 degrees with the pages fanned out. He piled every scrap of paper he could find on it and around it. He balled up memos and posters and old newspapers and built a pyramid. He hid 2 matchbooks in it, with the covers bent back and the matches bent forward at varying angles. Then he lit a cigarette with a match from the third book. He inhaled gratefully. Camels had been his brand way back in history. He liked Turkish tobacco. He smoked a half inch and folded the cigarette into the matchbook in a T-shape and used a paper clip to keep it secure. Then he nestled the assembly into the base of his paper pyramid and walked away. He left the street door open 2 inches to set up a breeze. He had seen the big deputy's house from the back the first night when the guy got home from work and threw up in the yard. It was a 5-minute walk that took him 10, due to stealth and caution. The house was another sway-backed old ranch. No landscaping, no real yard, just beaten earth, including a foot-wide path to the door, and twin ruts leading to a parking place close to the kitchen. The old crew cab pickup was right there on it. The driver's door was unlocked. Reacher slid in behind the wheel. The seat was worn and sagging. The windows were dirty, and the upholstery smelled of sweat and grease and oil. Reacher pulled the bunch of keys and found the car key. Plastic head, distinctive shape. He tried it just to be sure. He put it in the ignition and turned 2 clicks. The wheel unlocked and the dials lit up. He turned it back again and climbed over the seats and lay down in the rear of the cab. It took more than 30 minutes for the townspeople to realize their police station was on fire, by which time it was well ablaze. From his low position in the truck, Reacher saw smoke and sparks and an orange glow and the tentative start of leaping flames well before anyone reacted. But eventually, someone on the perimeter must have smelled something or gotten bored and shuffled a full circle in the dirt and paused long enough to study the horizon behind. There was uncertainty and confused shouting for about a minute. Then there was pandemonium. Discipline broke down instantly. The perimeter collapsed inward like a leaking balloon. Reacher lay still, and people streamed past him, few and hesitant at first, then many and fast. They were running, singly and in groups, yelling, shouting, fascinated, uncertain, looking at nothing except the bright glow ahead of them. Reacher craned his head and saw them coming from all directions. The cross streets were suddenly crowded with dozens of people, then hundreds. The flow was all one way. The downtown maze swallowed them all. Reacher sat up and turned and watched the last of the backs disappear around corners and between buildings. Newly deputized, newly marshaled, unsure of themselves, inexperienced. He smiled, like Moths to a flame, he thought, literally. Then he scrambled over the seat backs and turned the key all the way. The engine turned over once and fired. He drove away slowly with the lights off, heading a little south of west through the deserted scrubland. He saw headlights on the roadway to his right, four moving vehicles. Almost certainly the security Tahoes were coming in from the plant, plus probably the ambulance, plus maybe some firefighting equipment. He kept on going, looping west through the empty land, slowly, bouncing over washboard undulations and jarring over rocks. The wheels squirmed in his hands. He peered ahead through the dirty windshield and averaged less than 20 miles an hour. Faster than running, but even so, it took more than 7 minutes before he saw the white gleam of the plant's wall in the darkness